this is a controversial sort of a thing, but it's an image that sticks in your head. As nature prepares the fetus, while it is in its dark and fluid life, for that life which is in the light, and shapes it as though according to a model, for the life which is about to receive, so likewise it happens to the saints. And so, it's a powerful image that, you know, we all know about babies forming in the mother's womb and, you know, developing. And science is amazing, because I know someone who's pregnant, and she's got her book, and she goes to her doctor and says, okay, right now I'm making fingers. Okay, right now I'm making a heart. Okay, right now I'm making arms. And just as a baby develops inside its mother's womb so that it can lead a healthy and a happy life in this world, so, according to St. Nicholas Cavassilis, we are being formed in this life spiritually so that when we're born into eternity, when we're born into paradise, we have everything that's necessary for us to survive and thrive in that paradise. Yeah?
Are these senses the virtues?
Yes. He defines the senses as the virtues. And so we develop love, we develop mercy, we develop joy, we develop kindness, we develop all of these things so that we can enjoy life. And I mean that's one of the dominant sort of early Christian images of paradise, just sort of like a great field, a great party, a great banquet.
By saints, does he mean everyone who each of us has?
Exactly. He's using the Pauline understanding of saints. This is an interesting thing. And this is a long quote. See, I've got the little arrow. That means it goes on to the next page. The Savior is ever present in every manner with those who dwell in Him. He supplies their every need and is all things to them. He does not force them to look at anything else whatsoever, nor seek anything from anywhere else. There is nothing of which the saints are in need which He is not Himself. He gives them birth, growth, and nourishment. He is life and breath. By means of Himself, He forms an eye for them and, in addition, gives them light and enables them to see Himself. He is the one who feeds and is Himself the food. It is He who provides the bread of life and who is Himself what He provides. He is life for those who live, the sweet fragrance to those who breathe, the garment for those who would be clothed. Indeed, He is the one who enables us to walk. He Himself is the way. And in addition, He is the lodging on the way and its destination. Long quote. What is St. Nicholas Cavassilis telling us?
It's all about Christ.
Huh?
It's all about Christ.
It's all about Christ. What do you mean by it's all about Christ?
All
say a little
need.
Bit. Huh?
All we need.
It's all we need.
When he says saints, does he speak in terms of the specific saints or that we're all called to be saints?
All believers. All believers.
Don't you have to have a desire to continue? Because in one way to say, oh, I have arrived, I am a saint now, and I can stop. He's not saying that.
Right. Right.
This is a beautiful irony and balance in his writings.
Yeah. It's interesting. And it's interesting because he's a government worker, because he's a diplomat. And if you think about politics, it's like, I want to achieve this here. Let me do this here, and then I'll move over here. I'm going to do this, and then I'll do this. And even if you think about us, it's like, you know what? I need to drink water. Okay. done with water. I don't need it anymore. I didn't need an egg salad sandwich. I just need a little water. St. Nicholas Cavassilis is saying, in this life we need this, then that, then that, then that. But Jesus Christ is everything. I love this. He's the one who enables us to walk. He is the way. He is the lodging on the way. And he's the destination. We don't need to go anywhere else. And if you read, and it was very fun, and sometimes I got carried away, reading the secular history of the Byzantine Empire, it was interesting because it's like, we're going to call on the Serbs for this, we're going to call on the Ottoman Turks for this, we're going to call on the folks from Genoa for something else, we're going to call, and politics is really balancing, it's leveraging. I love that word. I don't understand what it means, but I love it. You know, it's leveraging. It's talking about, these are your interests, these are my interests, and let's try and work something out. And that doesn't hold for the spiritual life. Jesus Christ is everything. I mean, if you look at it, the Savior is ever present in every manner with those who dwell in Him. He supplies their every need and is all things to them. And so we don't need to go looking in other places. We don't need to go looking here for one kind of pleasure and there for another kind of pleasure. You know, here's the deal. I'm a crazy man. Because if I'm hungry when I come home from the office, there's one stretch of road where there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 grocery stores. And if I'm in the right mood, and I'm in the right mood, every couple of months, I start at one and I hit all 6. I say, you know, they've got good vegetables here. Oh, they've got better fruit over there. They've got nice meats over there. They've got great cheeses over there. And I'll make my way to all 6 stores because no one store has everything I need. Even though Safeway tries, they don't. And we don't need that with Christ. With Christ, Christ is everything. Yeah. I'm hesitating to say it, but I'm going to say it. One-stop shopping. I don't mean to commercialize Christ, but I mean, with friends, I deal with a lot of college students. And college students are still trying to figure out life. College students are still trying to figure out friends. And I've had more than one experience to say, listen, you've got friends that you enjoy going out to dinner with, going out to lunch with. You've got friends that you enjoy studying with. And you've got friends that you can really trust with your most personal thoughts. I said, they're not the same. Just because you enjoy working out with someone doesn't mean that you really want to trust this person with your personal fears and thoughts. And just because, you know, you study with someone doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily want to go out and have lunch with that person. It might be really great to study with, but really not fun to have conversation with. Jesus Christ is everything for us. And that's one of the primary things that St. Nicholas Cavassilis is trying to get across to us. Thus, the Savior turns our mind to himself from every side and does not permit it to occupy itself with anything else, nor to be seized by love of anything else. Even though we move our desire in another direction, he checks it and he quiets it. He blocks that way. And he takes in hand those who go astray. And this is one of the magnificent things. This is one of the principles of hesychasm, of containment, of focus. But the hesychasts focus themselves physically. The darkened room, the lack of distractions, the gazing down, the regulation of breathing. They focus themselves through these physical things. St. Nicholas Cavassilis is saying, we focus by focusing on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, we don't need to look at other things. I will confess that I was having a problem a few weeks ago. I was bored. I was going on media overload. I was on the internet, I was on Facebook, I was on the Hulu. I was contemplating Netflix. I mean, I was so bored. I was looking around everywhere for entertainment, and then I looked at the calendar. I said, "Oh, I get to go to Calistoga. Let me start reading The Life in Christ." And I just became so focused on his thoughts about Christ that I didn't need other forms of entertainment. And it's crazy. I have not turned on the internet to chat with friends or anything in about a week and a half because of this. Because I've been spending my time reading this and thinking about Christ. And so, practically speaking, once we get involved in thinking about Christ, we really don't need other things. You know, talk to me next week. We'll see what happens. But that's what he's saying. He's talking about focus. And he's saying that the Savior focuses us. I wonder what's coming next. There's an element which derives from God in the spiritual life. There's an element which derives from God, and another which derives from our own zeal. The one is entirely God's work. The other involves striving on our part. What do you think is God's part in our spiritual life? And what do you think is our part in our spiritual life?
Union.
Huh?
Union.
Union. Is that God's or us?
It's participation.
Participation. Both. Okay.
Yeah,
please.
Grace comes from God.
Grace comes from God. What do you mean by grace? How do you understand grace?
I don't. It's a mystery.
Okay. Gift. Okay. Here's the deal about this book. I love this book. This is my third copy of the book that I have. The others are falling apart. I'm ready for version number four of it. And you know what? You can pick up your copy of this book at the bookstore there. I love this book, but it's a little bit challenging because the translation was done in the early 1970s by a Roman Catholic. Theological vocabulary in this. A lot of times I'm going, ooh, that's kind of weird. So then I will go to the Greek version, and I will see what the Greek is, and then I'll say, it was a Catholic who wrote it. And a lot of times, this will use the term original sin. I'm going, did he really say original sin? I look here. No. Grace is one of those words. Grace is a word that has a special meaning in Catholic theology. And a lot of times we don't really know what it means. In some, I asked you what he meant, and you said gift. And in that sense, it's absolutely right. Charisma, it's a gift. Another thing that gift could be is the Holy Spirit, or grace could be is the Holy Spirit. A lot of times when Catholics speak about grace, we can translate that and say, oh, Holy Spirit, I understand now.
Do they mean forgiveness ever?
It can be entailed, it can be involved in forgiveness. But usually it's grace in the sense of Holy Spirit and then forgiveness. So, what is God's contribution and what's our contribution in the spiritual life?
Sacraments and virtues?
Sacraments and virtues. Say more about that.
Well, God's elements are the sacraments that we get.
So God gives us sacraments.
Right. And then the virtues we acquire in this life.
Okay.
God's grace in us.
So in a sense, even the virtues, even the good things in our life are gifts from God.
Yeah, because he doesn't say the one is God's work, the other is ours. It says the one is entirely God's work, the other involves striving on our part. So that doesn't mean that our part doesn't have God giving us the strength.
Okay, so even our, and you know what? That makes sense, because if Jesus Christ is everything, then even our accomplishments are Christ's accomplishments.
And that's what the scripture says.
Even our good works.
Yeah. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Christ who lives in me. Absolutely. Now we go on. That which derives from our own zeal is our contribution only to the extent, I love this, that we submit to God's grace and their grace's gift. That we submit to God's gift and do not surrender the treasure, nor extinguish the torch when it has been lighted. By this I mean that we contribute nothing which is either hostile to the life of Christ or produces death. It's an amazing sort of a thing. Every good gift comes from above, from God, the Father of lights. We hear that in every liturgy. Our job is not to surrender it, to submit to God's gifts. Don't extinguish the torch when it's been lighted. Okay, I team taught with Metropolitan Nikitas. Metropolitan Nikitas is quite the character. He's kind of old school. And he and I had a big difference. Because his philosophy was, when the students step into class on day one, they come in with a zero. And their job throughout the semester is to grow that zero into an A. And I stepped into the class thinking every student starts out with an A. And their job is to keep it at the A and just make sure that they don't dip down. And that's what this is saying. This is saying our job is not to lose the gifts that God has given us. We don't have to go out. There's a huge difference between going out there and having to work to grow something. You know, to start from seeds and to grow an apple tree. That's a lot of work. There's a difference between nurturing it from a seed up to an apple tree and walking in and having an apple tree and saying, I need to keep the apple tree alive. There's a big difference. And that's what it is with the spiritual life, according to Kovacevic. God does everything, and we just have to keep it going. Yeah?
You had mentioned to us that the saint was of the secular and of the sacred, and that he was a learned man. These are quite in-depth, important concepts he's putting forward. Was this new insight at the time? Was this adding to the literature of how one lives a life in Christ at that time? Was it new information or a new way of looking at how to live?
Was that an either or? Can it be a both and? Yeah, you know what? It's new, and I love him so much. Because especially when I'm teaching a course in spirituality, he's kind of late in the game. So many of the things we've read are written by monks for monks. And he is not a monastic.
And he's not a theologian.
You know what? Let's go back to a theologian as one who prays, and I think he prays. But he's not an ecclesiastic. He's not someone who's devoted his life to the study of theology alone. Okay. He's looking at this from a different way. And if you look at hesychasm, if you look at what St. Gregory Palamas and the monks of Mount Athos are doing, they are looking to achieve union with God. And he's looking to achieve the exact same thing, but through different techniques. You know, so I think it is new.
So that would be enlightening.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting, because especially if you think about the people that came to him for spiritual advice, people who were in governments and things like that, he was not saying, okay, you have to run off to Mount Athos, you have to run off to a monastery, you have to give it all up, and you have to pursue sort of the hesychast lifestyle. He's saying, and we'll see that later on, I hope, that that you can see God. You can join God.
So new in some sense, but on the other hand, you have Christendom talking to the people, you know.
Yeah.
And not just him, but a variety of the holy bishops talking to their people.
Yeah. I would say it's a new synthesis.
Okay.
I would say it's a new synthesis. But you know what? He quotes Chrysostom, you know, and he's part of an ongoing tradition.
Okay.
And at different points in history, different parts of the tradition get lifted up. And at other points, you know, things are sort of forgotten about. It's sort of the way life is. So he's in a sense, rediscovering this. Yeah.
As I look at the passage, the metaphor of the torch and an already lit light is no accident. He could have used all kinds of metaphors there. And I think that's what comes out of me when I read it.
Absolutely. One of the big, and again, I feel so bad because I just pulled selections out of this. You know, it's so rich. But he really spends a lot of time talking about light, Christ being the light. Think about, you know, Pascha, you think about Easter light, you think about baptismal light, you think of the light that everyone lights when they go into a church and they leave their candle, and it's all combined. It's all sort of the light of Christ. It's all our life.